That used to be my day job. So, man, I can't think of a more appropriate time to sing that. Thanks, brother. To pay no attention to the guy playing with my bottom. So, we got to give thanks in the midst of everything that's going on. And you may not be aware, but I'm pretty sure that we have some stuff happening, and it's been a tough week around here as well. And I think the hardest thing for me has been listening to people who are losing their income again, who are closing down their businesses again. I'm all hooked up here, so we're going to take this off. Otherwise, it's not going to work. There we go. But, I mean, we've had a number of people that have just said, my business isn't going to survive this second time. We've had a number of people say, I can't go without a job and a paycheck. And I think we all know what's happening. I think that we can see, obviously, that there is a insidious plan. And that plan does not have a political bent. That plan is Satan's plan. And his plan is to destroy what only God can build up. And it's the church. Listen, the only place that doesn't take its orders from the government, from society, is the church. We are an embassy. I want you to understand what that means. We are a place that is established for a kingdom and a nation that's not of this land. We're in a foreign land, and it feels more foreign than it ever has before. And we have to establish in this land that, listen, we are here to obey God. And there are too many people who are struggling, who are hurting, who are suicidal, whose marriages are falling apart, whose jobs are ending, whose income has stopped, who are more fearful. And I'm going to just say this, and I'll probably get banned. And, I've already been in conversations with the health department this week because somebody felt the need to report us. And what was most interesting about the email, they can't, of course, tell me who it came from. Not that it would change the way I feel about anybody. I mean, I love people no matter what, even if they are reporting us to the authorities. But, you know, the statement was made, Grace Church is breaking the law. Well, first of all, I just want to say the guidelines are breaking the law, so I'll go there for a minute. On top of that, we have been doing this since June 7th, and we have had zero cases of transmission in these facilities out of 4,400 people now, all right? So I stand by the fact that this is the safest place you will go. The restaurants, the Walmart, King Supers, not as safe as this place. And there's a lot of reasons for it. I go over them a lot. I'm not going to. But in the midst of that conversation, I was very respectful. I understand that Jefferson County has a job to do. I understand that the governor has a job to do. But there comes a point when we have to understand more than anything that our inalienable rights are endowed to us by our Creator. And the responsibility to care for and love people right now has never been more paramount. Do you understand this? We cannot let the enemy close the church. And what was sad about the email that was sent is, you know, they're violating the 50 or less during the weekend and on Tuesday nights. I'm like, so you're going to pick on the kids who have just now, in the last 3 months, had a revival in youth ministry. That is not an understatement. A revival. You don't think that we're running the highest numbers in years because kids need something in a time when their schools are closing again because this has a 99.6% survival rate for them? Guys, last year, 1.6 million people died from tuberculosis, which is 300 times more dangerous for children and teenagers. You have to eventually come to the place where you say, listen, I gratefully and graciously disagree. And as a ministry, We are not going to let 5 children attempt suicide and close our doors. We're not going to turn people away. I told the health department this. We're not going to turn people away. You want me to turn people away? It's not going to happen. If somebody's in need, we're here to meet that need. Now, what I will do and what we will do is try to mitigate the situation by following the mandate as closely as we can, okay? So if you're interested in helping us continue as a ministry, there's a couple things that we're going to have to do. And I don't think this is going to last a long time. I'm not a prophet, though. I could be very wrong. I'm also the guy that said we'd be back to normal in June. I missed it by a few months. But anyways, you know, there's some things that I will send out in an email this week. There's some stuff we may do in the auditorium to mitigate the situation. But this is the kind of illogical approach that's presented. Well, Pastor Rick, you know that if you have more than 50 people, you can put 50 people in different rooms. So like you can have 50 people in here, and then you can send 50 people in the foyer, 50 people downstairs. And my wife said it before I even could. Oh yeah, that's smart. Let's take people out of a room where they can socially distance and cram them in a room where they're right next to each other. It's just like, I have no problem adhering to the rules, but does coronavirus come out at 10 o'clock at night? Guys, you have to start, we have to think logically for ourselves. This is a real virus. Yes, it kills those with comorbidities, those over the age of 80. 60% who have died have been in nursing homes over the age of 80. So yes, it is the disease that could kill grandma. For me, it could kill my dad. My mom and dad, we have only seen 2 or 3 times in 9.5, 10 months, okay? They're doing what I believe, and I think my dad should get out on the forefront of this and lead everybody over the age of 75. He's like, you guys need to go live. We'll stay home. We'll stay home until they figure this out, until there's a vaccine or until we know that we've developed herd immunity, okay? Which, by the way, our indigenous in Peru have already done. It's gone through the entire tribe, 50,000. Nobody died to date, and they've all developed herd immunity. It happened in months, guys. But because it's been politicized and sides have been fighting, we don't even talk about this stuff. Now, I'm not going to go on and on, probably already going to get banned, but I will say this. We're here. There's a couple things we can do to ensure that we continue without being hauled off to jail, and that would be me. So if you want to see me anywhere in front of the bars, then there's a couple things we might want to do. I think something that we could do is make sure we wear our masks, you know, into the facility. And, starting next week, it would be really super if you don't have asthma problems or you don't have breathing problems, if you could wear those masks during the worship time. They were all afraid that while you're singing, you're spreading coronavirus all over the place, okay? Now, I'm reporting the news, okay? And so we will look at how this weekend goes. I told him straight up yesterday, hey, I'm not doing anything this weekend. I'm going to communicate to the people, and then we will make some decisions moving forward. So I will let you know, if you're not on social media and you have some conviction not to be, then I will get emails out to the church this week. But if you're on social media, pay attention to the Facebook post that I did yesterday and that I'll do this week. Listen, I want you to know that I am tirelessly fighting for you and for this ministry and have been for months and months and months. And I don't need a pat on the back. I don't need a thank you. That's my role and my job as a pastor. But I do need your prayers and your support. And we do need to be united in the way we move forward in this situation. And you know, for me, it's like when the enemy attacks, those are the times when God is saying, can you be thankful? Can you be grateful in the midst of all of this? And I want you to have a happy Thanksgiving. I want you to have a thankful Thanksgiving. And I know this year, it's not going to look that way at our house. I think there's 3 people coming. I think everybody else is staying home. I know my daughter's youngest daughter's leaving to Missouri with her fiance. Mom and dad aren't coming. I don't know. I think my brother's family, they've gone through this. They're probably staying home. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to look very different for a lot of us, right? But you can still be grateful. Matter of fact, now is the time to prove that we can be thankful. I want you to look again at Colossians 3. We're going to go through these verses next week, and I'll wrap this up, but I want to look at this. He says, Paul writes, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace." Okay, don't think that doesn't resonate in my mind about 99% of every day. I have never spoken disrespectfully to any of our authorities. I've never done anything disrespectfully to our authorities. I pray for them, but I am respectfully disagreeing with some things right now, okay? "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." Circle that, always be thankful. "Let the message about Christ in all its riches fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." You're saying, well, why should I give thanks? I just don't, I can't even be thankful right now. I'm so upset. And some of you are on one side, this is just stupid. And others on the other side, this is so scary. Look at James 1:17. "Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow." Guys, we're alive, we're breathing, we're here. We have a community that needs Jesus. We have people to love. We have a mission and a purpose. That's why we can be thankful. And beyond that, everything else is bonus. I'm going to tell you what the enemies of gratitude are, and I think you'll see as we go through this message that they attack all of us. They attacked me this week. I let them for a few moments. Enemies of gratitude start with, first of all, being anxious about most anything. If you're anxious right now about everything, I'm anxious about the economy, I'm anxious about the coronavirus, I'm anxious about the vaccine, I'm anxious about the changing politics or political climate, I'm anxious, anxious, anxious. That will rob you of gratitude. It will be that weapon the enemy uses to stop you from being thankful. The next one is illiteracy regarding the Bible. You could even write out to the side, apathy toward the Bible. Some people just don't read, so they don't know what God says, and some are just apathetic. "I don't want to, that's why I'm here, you read it for me." And that will cause you to miss out on gratitude and joy, because God is telling us, believe it or not, exactly how to respond right now. As a matter of fact, for all of you that want to know some really cool stuff, he's telling us everything that's happening right now and everything that's going to happen. And then finally, it's pride in everything I do. When I'm proud and when I look at my life and I think I've done this, it robs me of being grateful to God. Remember, everything we have came from him. Nothing belongs to me. Nothing belongs to you. It's all his. Now, as I was looking at Colossians 3 and I began praying about this message a few months ago, God led me over to 2 Corinthians 4, one of my favorite passages where Paul talks about being grateful, being thankful in a very violent civilization, a very violent Roman Empire, during a time when the church was brand new. I mean, these were new Christians, and they got caught up in all kinds of sinful activities. So that's what you do when you're a new believer. You're like, oh, that's great, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to keep doing the stuff I always do. And God's like, no, I've saved your life for more than this. And Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to read the whole passage to you, at least 7 through 18. Listen to this. "But we have this treasure," and I would just venture to say, this treasure is our salvation, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God's word, God's promises, God's purpose. It says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay." That's what we are. We're jars of clay, and he's the potter. "To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Now, if you can't relate to every single one of those phrases, I want to know where you live. You're in a different world than me right now. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. We're not quite where Paul was. Like every day was a moment that could have ended his life because of his belief and his faith and his commitment to the gospel. So then death is at work in us. Now, we all have death in us. We're living in a body of death. From the moment you're born and I'm born, we start dying. I know that's not great news, but it's real, all right? Death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit. Circle that. All of it. Everything. Persecution, challenges, growth. So that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Now, that's the whole premise of this message. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart, guys. This government is not in control. Politically, we're not controlled by them. The local government, not in control. You're not in control. I'm not in control. God is. And though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary, circle those two words, light and momentary. That means it may not feel light, but it is, because there are no big problems with God. And it's momentary. This will pass. Troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Not just the reality of going to heaven because Jesus died for me, but laying up in heaven something that will result in glory. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Anybody else find that challenging? I can see a lot of things, but I struggle to see the unseen at times. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, in this passage and going along with Colossians 3 are really what I call the truly inspiring ways to have Thanksgiving and to be thankful this Thanksgiving. And if there is nothing else, if right now you're even trying to get excited about a moment where you're not thinking about all that's happening, this will give you joy. So here's what it is. In this passage, these are five really powerful points. I want you to remember them. So I use the word truly to kind of give you an acrostic to remember these. How to truly give thanks this Thanksgiving. First, according to this passage, I got to treasure the opportunity, every opportunity to share the gospel with others. You know, I was just out there with Wes, Pastor Wes. He's a pastor on call. For you who don't know, pastor on call spends a weekend with me. It's their purgatory, and they spend the weekend with me, and they take care of everything and make it so that, you know, I can be on time and get everything done, and they're wonderful. And then we also talk about their ministries and how we can better serve the community. And Wes and I were talking, and I said, "Hey man, I got to read you this text from a young man named Justin who lives in Washington." We connected when Shelley and I went out there to preach a few years at my buddy Dave Minton's church. And this young man's just been an encouragement. Every now and then he sends me a message or a Facebook post, and he's just super encouraging. Well, he sent me one yesterday. "Listen, brother, I stand with you." Lots of nice stuff. He said, "You know, if I was there, I would be in your church every single week, and I'd be serving, but I'm praying for you. Stand strong." And then I sent back a thank you, and right before I came out on stage, he sent me a message. So I glanced at it, and he goes, "You know, I don't know if there's a place for a really aggressive, excited young guy in a church these days." I'm like, "Oh, there's a lot of room for those guys." And he said, "But I had a chance to share my faith yesterday and lead somebody to Christ." And he shared the story, and I'm like, "Justin, that's exactly what I'm talking about tonight. Can I share it?" And he didn't give me permission. So I just shared it anyways. But I love it. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. What's that power? It's the power unto salvation. I had another friend share with me a few weeks ago. He said, man, I'm sharing the gospel with people and nobody is coming to know Christ. I said, well, two things you need to keep in mind. One, it is not your responsibility to save anybody. Jeremiah preached for 48 years and no one converted, but he was faithful to God. I said, so that first thing you need to know, you just got to be faithful to proclaim the message. God will do the rest. It's his job to save. Secondly, I said, how are you sharing the gospel? I'm just curious, because I'm always curious when someone shares it faithfully and nobody comes to know Christ. And so he said, well, I just tell them that God loves them and that, you know, Jesus set an example of how to live and love God and love others. And he got done. And I said, buddy, you're sharing a lot of good stuff. And you ain't sharing the gospel. He said, what? I said, if you do not share Christ's death on the cross, you're not sharing the gospel. I said, so when you share the gospel, you have to bring people to the point where they have to make a decision. Do I believe that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, died on the cross 2,000 years ago for me, that he rose again? And do I receive that free gift? If they do not, and if they are not brought to that decision of accepting what Jesus did on the cross, they can't be saved. I said, it is the power of God unto salvation. Look at Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's the word good news. Because, circle this, it, and I want you to underline it, is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then the Gentile. That's everyone. He says, it is the power. So the power is the gospel. If you this Thanksgiving have an opportunity to share the gospel with a family member, with a friend, with a neighbor that says, what is going on? Our world is falling apart. And if you haven't had those conversations, I know hundreds of people that would love to hear from you because they've asked those questions. And if you have that opportunity, treasure that opportunity to share Christ. Guys, if you're not sharing Christ, you are missing out on the one single fundamental purpose that can only be done here on earth. All other purposes, we will live forever. Worship God, fellowship together, become like Jesus, serve one another in eternity, but there will be no need for preaching the gospel because everybody's eternity will be destined. At that point, it'll be determined. So this Thanksgiving, take your eyes off of your current saved situation, I'm assuming you are, for everybody watching, assuming you're a believer, and put it on someone who doesn't know Jesus. What if they got coronavirus and died? Listen, let me ask you a question. If you truly believe that Jesus saved you, that he died and rose again, and you are saved, if you truly believe that, why would you not share that with everybody you love? I mean, if you had the cure for coronavirus, COVID, SARS-2, and you had that cure, would you not go share it with everyone? Of course you would. We have something that's a greater cure than that virus. We have the cure for hell. I was in Houston back a couple years ago after Hurricane Harvey. You remember that? I went on your behalf. We sent money down. We helped out with the recovery process. And I went out the first night. I was waiting for Mingo and the team to get in, which they would arrive around 4 a.m. And so about 9 o'clock, I went to dinner with a young man I had coached and his mom and stepdad go to church here, Chris Tixon. And I went to dinner with him. We had a great time. We just talked. I don't think I'd talked to him in years, and he lives out there. And as I left, I got in the Uber, and it was this young African-American girl named Tamara. And we started talking, and she loved to talk. She just was asking me questions. And so she asked me, you know, what do you do? And that's always an icebreaker for me. Well, I'm a preacher. Oh, what do preachers do? And so we started talking, and I said, you know, Tamara, it's really devastating what's happened here. She goes, oh, it's horrible. And she goes, you know, there hasn't been as many people die in this hurricane, but many people are dying after the fact. I said, yeah, it's tragic. I go, what if you would have died? She goes, what do you mean? I go, would you go to heaven? Oh, I hope so. I go, how would you know that? She goes, well, I've tried to be a good person. I try to do good things. I don't, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I go, yeah, but you sin like I do, don't you? Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I never have to convince people of that one. Everyone's like, yeah, I'm a sinner. Oh, yeah, okay. And I said, well, God's perfect. He's holy, and he can't dwell with sin. She's like, well, that's really bad news. She's like taking words right out of my mouth. And I said, yeah, it is. But I said, you know, God loves you, and he loves me, and he loves everyone. She goes, I believe that. I go, so he sent his son Jesus into the world. Yeah, I've heard of Jesus. I said, well, Jesus was not just God's son. He was God in the flesh. Really? I said, yeah, and he came to the world. And when he went to the cross, he died for your sins and my sins. She goes, why? I said, because the Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. God demanded a perfect sacrifice, and Jesus was that sacrifice. And I go, after he died, he took all your sins and all my sins, and he was buried. He buried those sins. They're gone. They're paid for. And he rose again and said, if you believe he did that for you, you can have everlasting life. She goes, that is awesome news. I go, yeah. Would you like to believe that? She goes, yeah. So I prayed with her when we got to the hotel. She got my phone number. I got her phone number. We've never talked, but she has sent messages through Facebook. She still watches. Hello, Tamara. And it was awesome to have somebody literally excited to hear it. But you know what? It wasn't me that saved her. It was the power of the gospel. If you will speak the gospel, you will see lives transformed this Thanksgiving. The second reason is I remember no matter how bad it gets, God will never let life crush me. No matter how bad it gets, God is not trying to crush you, and he won't let life crush you. Did you know that? Look at this again in 2 Corinthians 4. Let's just follow along again. We are hard-pressed on every side. Are we hard-pressed on every side? Yes, we are. Right now, we are. But not crushed. Perplexed. I don't know if I've ever been more perplexed in my entire life at the American people, at the church, at the government, at everything and every side. Guys, I talked to and have spoken to thousands of medical professionals, doctors, epidemiologists. I can't tell you how there are such differing perspectives on this, okay? And they're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Now, I had somebody send this in a Facebook. Oh, stop whining, preacher. You guys aren't persecuted. The church gets everything they want. That religion is free in this country. I said, well, you know, I didn't really want to respond, but I said, you're not really paying attention. But the church and Christianity is the one entity in this country that is actually under attack and under assault. And if a certain agenda, and I mean spiritual agenda, has its way, the church will be rid from this earth. Then he says, struck down, but not destroyed. I love that. God says, listen, guys, it gets tough at times, but I'm not going to crush you, and I'm not going to let it crush you. If you're my child, you win. Now, I've always thought of 1 Corinthians 10:13 since I learned this verse. It comes back to me. To my memory, many times during times like this. Look at this, and I love the message paraphrase. Listen, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. In other words, we've all been through this. We're all going through it. Nothing you're going through has not been experienced by a multitude of other people. And it just so happens that 7.4 billion people or billion people on earth are going through it at the same time. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. Amen. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. Now, this is also a misquoted verse a lot. People say, God will never give me more than I can handle. God will never. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It never said that. It says this, God will never give you more than you can handle when you lean into him and trust him. I can't handle it. We can't handle what's going on, but God can in and through us. You know, my wife and I have been working out again together. We just go through these cycles and phases, sometimes at the gym, sometimes at home, but we've always been big fans of Beachbody. Can't you tell by my beach body? And so we love doing these exercises and these workouts. So I ride my bike 20 miles a day. I've ridden almost 12,000 miles in the last 14 months. And then we work out. We do this workout. Well, it's hard. I mean, there's just days you don't feel like it. You get up in the morning, you don't want to do it. Come home late at night, you don't want to do it. You know what's kept me going? My wife. She's encouraged me. Sometimes she literally has to pick me up. Sometimes I have to pick her up. Sometimes we have to help each other with the weight. Sometimes we have to just reach down and grab the other person and lift them up. That's what Jesus does for us. He says, listen, I know you're having a hard time. I'm not going to let it crush you. I'm here. Let me pick you up. We can do this. I always say he's our spotter. You know what a spotter is when you're lifting weights? They don't lift it for you. They just don't let it crush you. Remember that. Third, we've got to do this. We've got to unveil God's gracious power through our life's painful trials this Thanksgiving. You got to share your story. And your story is a story of going through pain, some kind of pain. And people can relate to that. People cannot relate to the guy or the gal that say, oh, yeah, everything's great. My marriage is great. My kids are great. My job is great. I just got a raise, a promotion. I'm the star of every sports team. Blah, 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 blah. No, everyone's like, yeah, whatever. You know who people relate to? The person that goes, sometimes life stinks. Right now, it's not so good. My marriage isn't great. My kids have gone off the deep end. My job's gone. You know, people lean into that and say, well, how did you handle that? Well, funny you should ask. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Now, Paul literally carried around the marks of persecution. Remember, he had been beaten 5 times with a cat of 9 tails, which means he had been struck over 9,000 times. Can you imagine the scars on his body? It says, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is what, guys? For your benefit. So that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Everything, absolutely everything we go through should bring glory to God. Listen, I can't do this, but God has done it through me. I can't handle this, but I'm handling it because of God who is in me. This is a moment. It is not hard to thank God and be grateful at Thanksgiving when everything's plush. It's a whole different scenario when everything is mush, right? To say, I'm giving you thanks, God. You know, I've been telling you, we've been praying every day, 3 times a day. I hope you've been joining with me. I think you have. I'm sensing that. And as I've been praying, even with my wife, with my youngest son at times, with my family, and then alone, it always starts the same way. And it's not some repetitive words. It's, God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There's so much to be thankful for. You know, I've shared some of the horror stories of this lockdown and this pandemic and all. I got to tell you, I've also talked to a lot of people that said, you know, this was not what I would prefer, but we have had more family time. We have had more opportunity to work on our family. I've had more opportunity to work on my spiritual life. I've been able to get closer to God. That's what we can do because God says these are momentary struggles. So unveil God's grace to others this Thanksgiving. Fourth, learn to persevere because not quitting produces genuine gratitude. Guys, I've been a coach most of my life, and quitting is not an option. It's not ever an option in sports, and it is not an option in life. You do not want to quit because just at the moment you quit, you just missed out on the joy of victory. It's always right around the corner. My daughter, Brittany, told me today, she's got this really cool treadmill in her house. And I'm like, oh, I'm really coveting that. And she runs the Boston Marathon. And I mean, you're actually running the Boston Marathon. There's a person running with you. They're talking to you. They're really running it, right? And she goes, Dad, I finished the marathon today. I go, man, that's amazing. And we were just talking about, you know, how she did it. And I had run on that treadmill one day just to check it out. And it's cool because this person that's running, obviously there's a cart behind her with a camera. And she's like, come on, you got this. Hey, listen, we're going to get up over here. This gal that's on the camera has run it dozens of times. And so she knows what's up around the corner. And what she keeps saying is, you got this, just another mile, just another 100 yards, just another 10 feet. Guys, quitting is not an option. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. You know what that means? Physically, we can't stop the slide, but we can still be renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, that isn't automatic. You're not going to have an eternal glory that outweighs them all if all you do is complain, if all you do is remain negative, if all you do is take your frustrations out on the people you love. You'll be in heaven, but you're not laying up treasures for an eternal glory. God says, that's quitting. That's quitting when a Christian goes, I'm just going to give in. And think about what you're doing. You're going back to anxiety over everything. You're not in the Word. You're not believing the Word. You're not applying the Word. And there's pride involved. Because in some way, shape, or form, you think everyone's out to get you. Galatians 6 really deals with this. Paul writes, let us not become weary in doing good. Now, I just want to be real with you. It gets exhausting, doesn't it? You know, I think one of the microcosms of this is watching a really good mother. Not that there aren't really great dads who participate, but women just seem to never get weary doing all of those important things that nobody ever really appreciates. Men are like, hey, did you see? I swept the floor. Uh-huh. Yeah, did you see? I made the bed. You know, that's how we're like, we need some thanks for that. You know, your wife's like, yeah, I do that every day. Okay, great. Women just seem to do that. And I'm not, you know, I'm just saying it's an observation. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So, God wants us to keep going. Guys, this is your charge from your coach. Don't quit. Do not give up. Do not become weary in doing good. This is not the time for the church to roll over and say, okay, I guess we'll just blindly do whatever. Not going to do it. Listen, I've been running this race most of my life, and I've been running this race as a pastor for 36 years. I am not going to quit now. I'm not done, and God's not done with me. He's got a lot of work still to do, and he's not done with you. So you cannot quit. This is not the time, and I say that to your marriages, and I say that to your child raising, and I say that to your company that's suffering, and you don't even know if it's going to make it, or your business, or your finances. Do not give up. This is the moment when God says, listen, you trust me, and I'm going to make something amazing out of this. Don't give up. Learn to persevere, because nothing produces more gratitude than staying with it. And nothing, in contrary, nothing causes more disappointment than quitting, more grief and more guilt. You do not want to get to the end of your life if you happen to be one of those people that actually gets to slowly fade out and go, why didn't I? You fill in the blank. And finally, how to truly give thanks this Christmas. I got to yield my life to God's eternal purposes. That's it right there. I got to yield my life to God's eternal purposes. Now listen, he talks about this and he says, so we need to fix our eyes on what is seen, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, my wife taught me this a long, long time ago. It's hard to even believe her dad, Bill, has been gone for 30 years. I can still remember his death on June 25th, 1990. And I still remember those 5 days very well. I remember on June 20th when he went into the hospital, he'd been fighting cancer. They gave him 6 months to live. He lived 5 years, got to see 2 grandchildren, never went into the hospital until he died. And during that time, I remember my wife sitting on the edge of his bed, rubbing his tattoo from the Marines he got when he was drunk. They called him Fergie, but they spelled it wrong because he was drunk. And she's rubbing his tattoo, and she's telling him she loved him, and I'm sitting there reading verses from the Bible about heaven. I'm like, Bill, you're about to go there. And he's like, I'm ready. I'm ready. It was amazing to see. And I've told this story many times in my life. I mean, the next day was one of the most mind-blowing moments that really illustrates this whole sermon. He got on the phone. We didn't have cell phones back then. He couldn't text people. He got on the hospital phone and he started calling friends and relatives, Pueblo, Fort Collins, even calling people out of state, collect, however he was doing it. And he would say this, hey, this is your brother Bill, your cousin Bill, your friend Bill. You're not going to get here before I'm dead. So I just want you to know, trust in Jesus. Believe he died for you. You'll see me again. Got to go. And he did that for an hour. And I remember just watching that and mesmerized. But something happened where my wife said, after he passed, she goes, you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about when my parents went to Hawaii in like 1978, and they didn't take me. You know, my wife and I have been all over this country, almost every state. We've never been to Hawaii. And she goes, I'd never been there. My parents sent me a postcard about midway through the 2 weeks they were there. And it was this beautiful picture of Hawaii, and they were having a great time. Hope you're well. We love you. And she said, I could picture them there. I knew where they were. I felt that comfort. That's it. She goes, this Bible is my postcard from my dad. And I've never been to heaven, but I know he's there. It's the unseen world, but it's as real as it's more real than the world I'm living in. That's how you keep your eyes on the unseen world. Through God's word, you understand that it's tangible. And you live for his purposes and his glory. Because if this year has not taught all of us that there is nothing in this world that is not expendable, then nothing will teach you that. Look at Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You know, I don't know about you, but I've made lots of plans. I'm a visionary. I had lots of plans for the church this year. Guess how many we accomplished? Goose egg. Zero, okay? I had a plan. We were going to raise $1 million over our budget this year, and then we were going to help people. We're going to pay off student loans and help single parents and do all this stuff, and God said, nope, you're not going to wait for the money to come in. You're just going to help people back in April and May and June and July, and we still are. Over 9,000 people and families that you have cared for and helped. Guys, I don't know if you can wrap your mind around that. That's pretty amazing, but when I think about that, I think about the fact that God said, you're going to do it, and you're not going to wait. And so we're still going, okay, God, take care of it. And he has. He continues to miraculously. And his plans prevail. His purposes prevail. Let me end with this. Look at 2 Timothy 1. God saved us and called us to be holy. That's the word for set apart. Not because of what he had done, but because of his own plan and kindness. Before the world began, God planned that Christ Jesus would show us God's kindness. Now, with the coming of our Savior, Christ Jesus, he has revealed it. Christ has destroyed death, and through the good news, the gospel, he has brought eternal life into full view. This Thanksgiving, if you can't be thankful for anything else, be thankful that you are God's child and that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and no one will pluck them from my hand. I and the Father are one. You cannot be separated from the love of God, Christian. So you take these principles, truly apply them, and you'll have true thanksgiving this year. Let me have you bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute. Maybe you're here and for the first time, that made sense to you. Maybe you thought you were going to heaven because you were being good, or you're part of a religious organization, or you know, you've given up bad habits, and you realize, no, that won't save you. As a matter of fact, doing good to try and earn God's favor will only move you further away from salvation. You're separated from God. And I was separated from God too until I recognized something, that I'm a sinner and Jesus died for my sins. So right where you sit, just say this to God in your mind. Say, God, I admit it tonight. I admit I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus Christ died for me and rose again. And right now, I receive that free gift of salvation. Thank you, God. Friend, welcome to the family of God. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to have you stand up or come forward. In just a moment, I'm going to have you raise your hand and put it right back down. And that just tells me you got it. So if you're saying, tonight, I put my trust in Jesus, I receive that free gift, would you just slip your hand up and put it right? God bless you, my friend. God bless you guys. Praise God. Welcome to the family of God, man. You're so smart, so wise. Listen, as a ministry, we celebrate with you. And I promised I'd do nothing to embarrass you, and I won't. But we have a free Bible, and we want to just encourage you and celebrate with you. If you just do something on your own, just text the word BELIEVE to 313131. Just text the word BELIEVE real quick to 313131. Follow the prompts. We'll get you that Bible, welcome you to the family of God, and let you know that this ministry is here, and we're going to be here as long as God allows us to help you walk this walk. Father, thank you for these you've called into your kingdom. Thank you for the free gift of salvation. And thank you, Lord, for the joy of seeing you work in and through your people. Father, we pray protection over this ministry. We pray protection from this virus, from the government, from whatever. Lord, we know that we have victory through you. And so we trust you. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.